This entire week, we've been on this topic of life. And I would say more or less, a lot of these experiences concerning life that we've covered, that we pray that you would enter into, is something personal, something more for you as an individual, a believer. But we must remember and we must realize that life issues, that life results, that life consummates in the building of God. And this is very clearly seen in the Bible. Even in Genesis chapter 2, when you see the river, the water of life, this river that branched out, at the end of this river, we have the building materials. This shows us that life issues or results in building. Then in John, in the first chapter, verse 4, we see that the Lord came as life. It was very interesting that if you read through the whole chapter, in verse 42, he prophesied over Peter. Actually, told him that you will be, his name was Simon. Told him that your name will be Cephas, translated into Peter. And Peter means stone. What are stones used for? Building. Amen. And then in the end of the chapter, you see in verse 51, there is this vision of the Son of Man, like a heavenly ladder with angels descending and ascending. Right. That vision is the same vision as Jacob's vision at Bethel. Amen. The vision of the house of God. That vision was the vision of the Lord Jesus Christ, right, as the heavenly ladder, right, that is now in our spirit. Amen. So when we enjoy, when we are living in our spirit, we receive this heavenly transmission. God dispensing himself into us. And we are being built into God. Amen. This is the building of God. The mingling of God and man. So we see again life issues in God's building. Amen. Brothers and sisters, I hope we are fully convinced that in the entire Bible, even in Revelation, in the last book, we see the Spirit and the Bride say, come. We see the New Jerusalem descending out of heaven. And if you study it, if you consider it, actually, the New Jerusalem, as the building of God, is composed of precious stones. Stones that have been transformed. The color, the outstanding color of jasper, signifying the richness of God's divine life. The jasper city corresponding to the jasper God. The consummation of life is the building that we see in the New Jerusalem. And so when we come to this lesson, we need to realize, actually, everything that we've covered up to this point is for the building. Regeneration is for building. Even our dealing with our past regarding our sins, our experience of the anointing, the cycle of life, the dealing with the world, all of this is for the building of God. We're not here covering these lessons on life so that we could be perfect Christians. living according to some standard of morality. I would even say it's not even so that you could grow in life, but just in an individual way. We need to be built up with others. We need to be joined and knitted together in love. Because this is what will satisfy God's heart. This will end the age. Our growth in life is for the building of God. And when the building is completed, that means the bride has been prepared. Amen. And that's when the Lord will come back. So I hope our aspiration and our prayer is that, Lord, grow in me. But not just for me. Lord, I want to grow for your building. I want to mature in life for the building of God. So let's come to this outline. The first point that we need to see, and this is Roman numeral 1, is that when we receive the life of God into us, on one hand, we are sons of God, but on the other hand, we've become members of the body of Christ. And so you see this, actually, in 1 Corinthians chapter 12. If you have your Bible, please turn to that. And this is the first point, is that we need to see that we are members of the body. So 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 12. Let's read that together. Hold on, let's do this all together. So this is 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 12. It's not 27. Your reference on the outline says 27. We'll get there. But first, let's start with verse 12. 1 Corinthians 12, 12. Go.
For even as the body is one and has many members, yet all the members of the body, being many, are one body. So also is the Christ.
Young people, have you seen this yet? We know the body has many members, just like my physical body has many members. But it's one body. My head does not exist independently from the rest of my body. My arm moves together, my legs. There is one body. You see a complete picture. But yet in the body, there are many members. So in the body of Christ, even though it's one body, there are many members. You should all declare, I am a member of the body.
I am a member of the body.
Sisters, declare, I am a member of the body.
I am a member of the body.
Brothers,
I am a member of the body.
It's very interesting. The Bible does not say cells, but it says members. You know, just by scratching, I lose, I don't know how many cells, but it's gone. You know, I scratch my head, scratch my hand, I hit Ethan, I don't know, I might have just killed a few cells. But members are critical. They're essential. They're indispensable. If I cut off a member from Ethan's body, he would be in pain, agony. He would not be able to go on in the same way. In the same way, brothers and sisters, you are a critical member of the body.
Amen.
The body of Christ needs your function. Amen. You need to see that. Even the ninth graders. If I was with the junior hires, I would tell even the sixth graders, we need your function in the body. Every member is essential. And so if you read the rest, I won't go through it to with you, but when you have the time, you could go through these verses in 14 to 22. Briefly, you see that as a member, we shouldn't envy the function of others. You shouldn't say, oh, you know, I'm just a hand or I'm just a toe. I'm not the eye or... Don't envy the function of others. But on the flip side, you shouldn't despise the function of others. The eye cannot say to the hand, I have no need of you. We need all the members. We need everyone's portion in the body. You also see this in Romans 12. Let's turn to that. Verse 4 and 5. Let's read that together once you get to it. Romans chapter 12, verse 4 and 5. Amen. The members do not have the same function. You know, sometimes I'm in the meetings of the church, and maybe it's the prophesying meeting or the Lord's table meeting. And, you know, I'm sitting with, you know, the brothers and sisters. And every week, you know, it's Brother Ola will function, Brother Dennis will function. And it's not that I despise their function, but, you know, I appreciate it very much. But I don't know if you, brothers, I mean, I think you've had the experience, but sometimes I'm sitting at a meeting and a junior high or high school sister prays something. Oh, I get so encouraged. Yeah. I remember I have this. I had this experience in the prayer meeting of the church, and I'm going to get to this. I have a lot of burden and feeling for the meetings of the church. I was in the prayer meeting, and it's the same ones praying, and then all of a sudden, we had a young sister just pray 2-3 sentences. Oh, I was so encouraged. I needed that. Or in the prophesying meeting, a high schooler stands up. And, you know, you don't have to try to cover the entire message or outline, but you just share a particular point that the Lord touched you with, that you've experienced during the week. Oh, and that experience is so watering. I'm sitting there and I'm just receiving so much help. Maybe you don't realize this. Did you know that? You know, in 1 Corinthians 14, it says that all can prophesy. One by one. That all may learn and all may be encouraged. It doesn't say, oh, it's just the older, mature saints. That when they prophesy or when they function, then I receive the help. No, it says all. Anyone from the youngest believer, when you function in the church meeting, everyone gets encouraged. So what does that mean? That means we need to function, right? Okay, let's turn now to Ephesians 4:16. And once we get to that, let's read this verse all together. Ephesians 4:16. Amen. All the body being joined and knitted together. And really, I want to emphasize this one point here. You know, this verse ends with this matter of the growth of the body unto the building up of itself in love. But there are two reasons or prerequisites for that to happen, right? It's through the joints of the rich supply, which we definitely need. But it's also through what? The operation in the measure of each one part. Can we say that together? Each one part. Each one part. Each one part. Are you part of this each one part? Sisters.
Amen.
Brothers, are you part of this each one part?
Amen.
Yes. Each one part. You have a certain measure that's been given to you. The Lord has put that into you. And that is unique. That is something that I don't have. It's something that the brother or sister sitting next to you, they don't have. But is it operating? Are you using what the Lord has given to you? Are you functioning according to your given measure? That's the question. Without it, the body cannot be built up. Or I would say, without the functioning, the building process slows down. Do we want that to happen? No. I thought, you know, we're here together as crazy lovers of Jesus, right? We love the Lord Jesus. We want to see Him face to face.
Amen.
We're here to bring Him back.
Amen.
So what does that mean? That means we need to give ourselves to the building up of the body.
Amen.
We need to function according to our measure.
Amen.
And we will see what that really means. As members, we need to function for the building up of the body. Okay, so how do we function? There are some points here under Roman numeral 3. The way to build up of the body of Christ. Okay, let's read letter A together. Amen. I would say, maybe you could write this in parentheses, is to bear fruit. Because the reference here is John 15. And there in John 15, you see this marvelous picture. The organism of the triune God. I think many of you are familiar with these verses. There you see what? The vine tree, right? With the branches that are abiding in the vine that's bearing fruit. This is a wonderful picture. I hope this vision will become a part of you. We need to see we are branches abiding in the vine. And we've been grafted in. And all we need to do is to enjoy. Enjoy the riches of this vine. We just need to open to the Lord. Enjoy Him in our spirit. And all that He is, all that He has accomplished will enter into us. And then spontaneously, there will be the bearing of fruit, the overflow of life. Have you ever considered why God uses the picture of a vine? Huh? It always grows? Grows. That's true. It grows, right? It's something living. But, you know, I've considered this. The vine tree, it's not something like an oak tree, right? It doesn't provide shade. It doesn't provide wood that you need to construct furniture or build a house, right? You know, the vine tree, also, it's not as a plant. It doesn't produce flowers. It's not very fragrant. That's not the most outstanding feature of the vine tree. What is special about the vine tree? It bears fruit. It bears fruit. What does that mean? That means if you see or you own, let's say you're a farmer and you cultivate a vine tree and it's not bearing any fruit, in a sense, you could say, it's useless. What is the use of it? I can't chop it down and build a table out of it. I planted that vine to bear fruit so I can enjoy the fruit. Actually, we need to see this is on God's heart. Bearing fruit. Do you know what is the first thing that God said to man after He created Adam? Do you know? What's that? Yeah. Be fruitful and multiply. Maybe you were at the college training, because this was one of the messages I had to share. When I came across that, I was, wow, this is deep on God's heart. The first thing, think about it, right? The first thing that God told man is that you need to be fruitful and multiply, because God's desire is that His life would increase. He wants to have an expression of Himself all over the earth. He wants to exercise His dominion through man over every creepy thing, over all the earth. And the only way that He could accomplish that is through life. And so He wants this life to enter into man. He wants this life to grow in man. He wants this life to spread through man. He wants this life to overflow from man so that this life could take over the entire earth. So that over the earth you would see this life being expressed. That His dominion can be exercised all over the earth. This is God's heart. Have you seen this? God's life wants to be expressed. He wants us to be fruitful and multiply. So what do we do? Well, it's actually very simple. We just need to abide in the vine. You know, preaching the gospel, it's actually just part of bearing fruit. And it's just a result of the overflow of life. I'll try to describe this to you. Suppose, right? And all these things that we've heard this week, actually, it all comes together so nicely. We enjoy life, right? We're here to enjoy life. Oh, the fellowship of life. And as we're enjoying this life, right, and we're sensitive, right, to the Lord speaking, we're sensitive to follow the anointing, we're making sure that we have a clear conscience, void of offense, so that we would stay in life, enjoy this life. And then you know what happens? Then you get with some people. It could be your friends. It could be your family. It could be the brothers and sisters of the church. And this life that you're enjoying just bubbles over. Even just, you know, during this week, I have so many experiences of this. You know, we're just walking, right? We're walking from here to there. And you're just singing a song. Actually, I have this picture. I mean, I had this particular experience in my head. I was going into the laundry room, and I was just whistling a song that I was enjoying. And then you know what? And then I saw another brother, and he was exiting. And then he started whistling the same song. And then we looked at each other, and I whistled one line, and he finished the other line. We were just enjoying the Lord together. Bearing fruit is just enjoying the Lord. Amen. Out of your enjoyment of the Lord, something flows out. Amen. And this is what will capture people. This is what will save your friends. I know many of you, your burden for the ones that are close to you, the friends that you've grown up with. But what will you do? You know, if you're not enjoying the Lord and you try to preach the gospel to them and you're like, hey, Isaac, you know God is enjoyable? And then there's no expression of that enjoyment. He's not going to believe me, right? Or if you haven't properly dealt with the world, your sins, if you haven't cleared up your past. And I try to speak to my friend. Oh, you know, God is so much better than da-da-da-da-da. But he knows. He knows. I mean, I'm still spending hours playing that video game or watching, you know, whatever, right from last night, anything and everything. Some of us, you know, we're faithful. You invite your friends to the meeting, to the young people's meeting. But if the meeting, if there's no enjoyment, there's no life, they're not going to come back. What do we have to offer to them that is better than what they're enjoying already? Think about it. On a Saturday night, they could find pleasure in doing so many other things. But we know, right? When we touch our spirit, when we're enjoying the Lord in our spirit, singing, praying, praising, we know that is real. That is the real enjoyment. And if you're living in that reality, if the young people's meeting in Cambridge, in Philadelphia, in Franklin, at the young people meeting, in those places, and everywhere that you are, if it's full of the enjoyment, think about the impact that will have. Amen. You bring your friends there, and they're like, whoa, what is this? This is something that I've never tasted before. And they leave, not with the sense of emptiness, but fulfillment, satisfaction. You know why? Because they were made for that. They were made as vessels to contain God. Amen. They don't know it, but I hope you know it by now that nothing under the sun can satisfy you except for God himself.
Amen.
And so they enter into such an atmosphere and they find real satisfaction. Don't you want to preach the gospel to your friends in such a way?
Amen.
Instead of just, just come. And then expect some miraculous thing to happen. But if you're in the enjoyment and you get with a few others, your companions, to pray, to enjoy the Lord, and you're in such a gathering, then people will see and they will get saved. This is the bearing of fruit. So we need to function in such a way. To bear fruit, we need to be persons of life. You could write that down. Fruit bearing is just an overflow of life. And also in John 15, we have this phrase, right? Remaining fruit, right? The Lord told us that we will bear fruit and that your fruit will remain. How does fruit remain? You need to spend time, right? To help them. This point B, right? The newly saved members must grow in life for the body of Christ. In other words, let's say you lead your friend to salvation through regeneration. They call to receive the Lord. That's good, but that's the first step, right? That person, he or she, is now just a newborn babe. And so now comes shepherding, comes caring for them, right? Helping them to grow,
amen,
grow in life. Actually, everything that you picked up, you know, all these lessons are for you to experience. But then it's for you to eventually help the ones that you're caring for to experience the same thing. Maybe you have a newly saved one, right? And he or she is frustrated, you know, feels like they can't go on. Or maybe you have a Christian friend in the same situation. They feel like, yeah, you know, I'm saved, but, you know, but now what? We can help them to advance, to grow in life, to arrive, to reach full maturity.
Amen.
We can bear remaining fruit this way. You know, I'm very, very burdened for this. Let me tell you a story. You guys like stories, right? Okay. So I actually learned this just recently. Anyway, it's something that I kind of knew, but I didn't really know. I didn't know the full scope. So about 30 years ago, there's a brother, with some other saints, actually, the church life in New Jersey started in Piscataway. And they were mostly students, right? And actually, prior to that, those saints were making a commute to New York, right, for the meetings. But through fellowship, they felt that, you know, the Lord was leading them to raise up the Lord's testimony in New Jersey. So there was a group of them. And, you know, they were actually looking for a place to meet. And so they were searching, searching, and searching. And then finally, they found a property. And this was in Franklin Park, New Jersey. The original owner of that property, and I'm talking about the old house in Franklin, okay? I'm not talking about the new meeting hall. I think some of you have been there before. There's two buildings there, right? The old house there. It was called the Emmanuel House. And the previous owner actually, they were a group of an offshoot of the brethren, okay, who loved the Lord very much, but they were elderly, and they were advancing in their years, and they realized that there was not much time left, and so they didn't want to just sell that property to anyone. Because actually, there's history behind that property. It was first used, I think it's the 1700s, by some Dutch Presbyterian believers, right, who fled, right, Europe to come here, to, you know, flee religious persecution. And so over the years, generation by generation, that building has been used as a place of worship. So they wanted to pass that on. So on one hand, they were very happy to find a group of people who love the Lord just the same as they do. Amen. Who have such an appreciation of the Bible, the truths within the Bible. Right. And so they were very, very happy to sell that property to the saints there. But actually, within the story, there is a sadness, because those believers, they love the Lord. There's no question about it. They saw many things in the Bible. They followed it. But they aged. There was no bearing of fruit. So eventually, they had to let it go. Brothers and sisters, we might think to have a quote, quote, good church life, we might think, oh, it's just to have everybody speak in the meetings, which, you know, it's very good. We do need to have everybody function. We might think to have a good church life is to have young people who are well-behaved, to have spiritual knowledge, to have the highest teaching. But if there's no increase, there is no future. Actually, if there's no increase, we are in danger to be cut off from the enjoyment of God. I'm so glad that over the last 30 years, you know, I grew up in New Jersey. My parents, they were one of the first few to meet, first in Piscataway, then, you know, moved to Edison. Out of what, 20, 30? Now they're over, I think, 1,200 in all of New Jersey on the Lord's Day. 10 churches. When I was growing up, it was just a few of us as young people. You know, there was, all we needed to do is just drive one minivan and we could go to Queens, right, for the Young People's Conference. But now there's so many. What a blessing.
Amen.
What an increase.
Amen.
Don't you think the Lord is happy?
Amen.
Through the increase and the spreading? This is what is on God's heart. I want to write a few numbers on the board. Amen. You don't have to put this down, but I just want to make a point. You might not know what I'm doing. 10 means 10th grade. This is the registration from the Summer School of the Truth. So 10th graders, I think there's about 51 of you, give or take, one or two. 9th grade, 47. 8th grade, 37. 7th grade, 32. When I first saw this, I had a little worry. And I don't know where you are, but my understanding next year, right, at least where we are, the next few years, we don't have a lot of 5th and 6th graders. If this trend continues, what's going to happen? Do you have any feeling about this? I hope you do. I hope when you look at this, you don't just think, oh, well, that's my parents' job, or the other, you know, brothers and sisters, they better get their act together, you know, go preach the gospel some more, right, to get some more. What about your classmates? What about the ones in your school? You know, we're about to start a new school semester. The beginning of the semester is the best time to preach the gospel. I would say the freshmen, because we realize this on the college campus. The freshmen, they are the most open. I believe it's the same on the high school level. Amen. The freshmen. Amen. You know, they just entered into high school. They have no idea, no clue. You know, the freshmen, you guys are about to enter into this, but, right? Upperclassmen. You remember your years? You're just like lost. Like, I don't know what's, you know? And maybe, wow, imagine this. You know, I thought about this. What if the seniors, wow, if you pick up this burden and you go make a friend, maybe a freshman, for the sake of the gospel, imagine that. Like Josh here. Josh, stand up. When I look at Josh, I feel like he's a pretty likable guy. I know he's an athlete. He plays baseball. Listen, if I was a freshman, which high school are you going to?
Burlington High School.
What?
Burlington High School.
Burlington High School. If I was a freshman in Burlington High School, and this guy comes to me and befriends me, wow, I would feel, wow, that's pretty cool. That's pretty awesome to have a senior. Right? Thank you.
Yeah.
Right? What if you did that for the sake of the gospel? Listen, what about you give this to the Lord in prayer? Pray for this. Pray for the beginning of September. Lord, who will you bring to my path? Or your existing friends. I would even say this. Listen, the ones who just moved there, maybe out of state, from a different district, those are all excellent candidates for the gospel because they're there, they're new. They don't have any friends. Right? Newly moved ones. Do you have a burden for people? If you had a burden to bear fruit, maybe you would go meet that new kid that maybe nobody wants to talk to. And you sit with them in lunchtime, get to know them.
Amen.
And eventually preach the gospel to them.
Amen.
You know, I heard this testimony in the recent semiannual training. There were a group of brothers, I think mostly brothers and sisters. Past couple years, they had a burden to go to Israel to preach the gospel there. And so they went to Tel Aviv. And you know, Israel, you can't just preach the gospel so openly, right? Yeah, it's against the law. So you know what the saints did? They prayed. They were filled with burden for feeling. And they enrolled in school, One brother, he felt, I need to go to school and just pick up a degree, but it was for the sake of the gospel. And while he was in school, you know, all he made friends. He just got together with his classmates, you know, study after class, eat together, invite them over for, you know, lunch, dinner, time to hang out. Yeah, let's go play basketball together. Whenever they needed help, you know, moving, whatever, you know, they were there. And listen, through all of that, some got saved. Because they saw these saints, they were so Jesusly human. You know, it's not just a matter, hey, you know, let me tell you everything about, you know, God's economy. You know, let me tell you from Genesis to Revelation. I'm going to expound, you know, the matter of the divine romance. It's not to blow people away all at once. But it's just spending time with them, you know? You guys have friends, right? Yeah. It's just spending. Paul, you don't have any friends. You should make some friends then. It's just spending time with them in a very normal way, right? And whenever there's opportunity, and I'm pretty sure you've experienced this, right? You're with a friend, and then they say something. Oh, you know, I just don't understand the meaning of my human life. Or they go through something, go through some trials. Something happens in their family, and they open. That's your chance. That's your opportunity to say something, to sow a seed. Maybe you didn't get them to call on the Lord right away, but it's a sowing of a seed. And maybe eventually you are able, right? Oh, you know, I'm always so anxious. You know, how can you share with them? Oh, you know, you could be not anxious and nothing be anxious. You don't need to be weighed down by anxiety in this life. I think people want to hear how, right? We need to bear fruit in such a way. And then I just like to add this one point, you know, this matter of bearing fruit, it's not just unbelievers that we can bear. But also, it's the younger ones, the newer ones, the backslidden ones. These are all kinds of people that we could bear on our shoulders, bear as remaining fruit. Practically, what does that mean? That means you can serve in the meetings of the church. You can serve the children. You can learn to bear them as fruit. You could get with some other saints, right? To be part of a coronation, to pray for these third graders, for these fourth graders, to spend time with them. You guys are about to drive, right? Actually, there's a trend which I don't understand, and you know, some people have given me different theories that people don't want to drive as much anymore. Yeah, I always ask around, like, how come you don't have a license? I mean, when I was your age, that's the first thing I wanted to get was my license and then a car. Somebody said it's because of social media. Now, you know, you could just sit at home and, you know, interact with your friends and be amused. But I hope some of you get a license, get a car. But for what? You know, I remember when I was a senior, started driving. You know, I lived on the street. And a couple houses down, there were two families there. And one family, there was a brother who was 3 years younger than me. And then the other family, there was two of them, and 4 years younger. Anyway, when I started driving, I was a senior, and that one brother was a freshman. And so we just decided to, you know, 1 year, well, this is my senior year, in the mornings, I would just go early to have a time where we could pray and enjoy the Lord together. I worked it out into my schedule. I mean, he was just down the street. So I told him, bro, you know, I'm just going to come pick you up and then, you know, get, you know, I'm trying not to say their names, get them to come over, you know, our neighbors, and, you know, we'll just have a time together, enjoy the Lord together. And then every Saturday, we would go over to his house, and we read The Overcoming in Life. And his mom would make prepare bagels for us. So we just had breakfast and enjoyed the Lord together. You can do this, you know. You can shepherd younger ones. It's entirely possible. Driving, you know, and driving the saints to the meetings. I mean, this was just part of my living as a senior, going to the meetings. And I just love, even after the meetings, to take, you know, young people, hey, let's just, you know, go to Rita's or go get ice cream, go get whatever. Spending time with them. I have this one memory. You know, my parents own this Isuzu Trooper. It's an SUV. They don't make those in these cars anymore. But, and this is not legal. I'm not trying to say you should do this. You probably should not do this. But we just packed the car. All these brothers, right? It was like, it's only, you know, 5 seatbelts. So, you know, legally, you're only supposed to have 5 people. But there was a back, there's a trunk. So we packed the brothers in. And they were, you know, 7th and 8th graders. So, you know, they're kind of small. So we just packed it in. And so we just drove them. You know, I just drove them to what? To Dunkin' Donuts down the street, you know, on next to the meeting hall in Franklin. I just want to spend time with the brothers, you know, just to take care of them. And, you know, the middle schoolers, they think that's the coolest thing, you know. Hey, I get to, you know, be with the cool seniors, you know. They have a car now, you know. I mean, now it's like, hey, you want to go to Dunkin' Donuts? Isaac's like, no. But at their age, you know, they look up to you. Wow, the seniors, the juniors, they want to spend time with me? That's so awesome. You don't understand. This is a form of cherishing to the younger ones. Right. You can do this. Anyway, there's a lot more stories, but because of time. So we can function, right, in that way, in caring and shepherding the younger believers. We also need to function in the meetings of the church. And I mentioned this already. In the prayer meeting. In the group meeting. The Friday, Saturday. In your young people's meeting. In the Lord's Day meeting. Can you function? Can you? Yes. Yes. You can. Let me ask that again. Can you function?
Yes.
Are you willing to function?
Yes.
That's the question. Are you willing? You know, this matter, when I was kind of my junior, senior year, this matter touched me. I'm a member in the body. I have a portion. I have a function. So I just gave this to the Lord. I prayed to the Lord. Lord, I want to function. I don't want to just go to the meetings and just sit there. And so I gave this to the Lord. And then I just exercised to function in the meetings. And in the beginning, I mean, you pray and it's like you lose your face, but that's okay. You're just learning. You don't get it perfectly. You stand up and share and you jumble up your words. You forget your verse reference. You start speaking, you forgot what the point was. That's okay. It's just learning to function. The saints are not going to laugh at you. We were all once there. You know, we're all in this together. We're here for the building up of the body.
Amen.
And you need to learn to function.
Amen.
Can you function on the Lord's Day?
Amen.
To pray something.
Amen.
It doesn't have to be long. It could just be, Lord Jesus, I love you. Thank you for dying for my sins.
Amen.
It's if each one of you did that, the saints would be so encouraged. But I'm afraid, Lord's Day by Lord's Day, the young people, you just sit there. And I'm so burdened. Because you know why? Because in that meeting over there with the junior hires, we are sharing the same thing, and we're encouraging them to function. We're telling them the exact same thing that each one has, that you all can function. But the thing is, when the junior hires get with the rest of you and they see the high schoolers not functioning, it just makes it even harder because there's no example. There's no pattern. They see the juniors and the seniors, and they're just there. You're just there. Yes, we need to present our bodies, and it's good that you're there. And I thank the Lord every time you're there. But will you function
Amen.
For the sake of the younger ones?
Amen.
Will you? Or will we just keep repeating the same trend year after year? Generation after generation. Young people entering into the church life, yes, they're there, but they don't function. I hope you bring this matter to the Lord. I don't want to just stir you up, but you need to go before the Lord, and you need to pray. You need to pray. I hope you're desperate to pray. Lord, I don't want to remain the same. Lord, I don't want to finish my high school years the same, not functioning. I want to function. You've given me a measure. And you don't need to compare. Don't compare. Don't compare yourself. You have a measure. What about that, Lord? You pray. You have some transactions with the Lord. You consecrate yourself to function in the church meetings.
Amen.
And then, if you do that, if all of us do that, we become one step closer to the building up of the body. How about that? And then finally, we need to function in the services of the church, right? And this is just, it could be Levitical, right? It could be in cleanup. So many different needs, right, in the church life that needs your part. May we give ourselves. I'd just like to finish with this one verse. It's touched me this morning as I was preparing. This is Matthew 24:45. And I just read this to you. But I hope this is the Lord speaking. Because I believe this is what is on his heart. Who then is the faithful and prudent slave whom the master has set over his household to give them food at the proper time? The Lord is calling. Who then? The Lord just needs some. Some to respond. Who then? Is it going to be you?
Amen.
Will you respond to the Lord?
Amen.
To give yourself, to be in life, to be in the fellowship of life, so that you can have food, which is just Christ himself, that you could minister Christ through your functioning in the church life.
Amen.
Who then? Will you be that one?
Amen.
I hope all of us, we just go before the Lord and you consider this. The first requirement for our ministering of Christ to other people, I would say, is you need to go before the Lord.
Amen.
And you need to consider. I wonder if we could end with this song. This is a 463. We need to spend time with the Lord in His presence and remember, right, who He is. 463, hymn 463. The Lord is our master. Remember, He died for us, right? He set us over His household. He redeemed us. We belong to Him. He did everything for us. And so I hope we would have this transaction with the Lord. We realize all that He has done for us and that we would give ourselves to Him to feed His people at the proper time. Amen. Let's sing 463.